So we started discussing last week some issues of fishing in halacha, summer season's quickly approaching, and we'll see, we'll go from fishing to other related questions regarding other animals as well. So we'll just quickly review what some of the issues we discussed last week and continue. So we first started off with the more obvious. Before we get to whether fishing's okay at all, we have to save that for the end. Because if the answer is no, they don't have a share to give. So we'll leave that at the end. But assuming we can fish, or even maybe if you can't fish, but if you do it, these shilohs still come up. Even if the answer is no, the shilohs are still in Ogeya. So we discussed fishing on Shabbos. So fishing on Shabbos is pretty simple. That's in violation of the prohibition of Seda, of trapping. And depending how you trap it, whether we're talking about a malacha deraisa, drabanan, those are details for another shiur when we, if we ever go into the definition of Seda more in depth. But clearly it's a prohibited to fish on Shabbos. And we went into last week the question of, if you're lucky enough, again, so if you're fishing on Shabbos, so either you're amazed, you're intentional, or you're a shogeg, you don't know that today is Shabbos, or you don't know fishing is prohibited on Shabbos, whatever the details are.
By fishing, you mean net and hook,
boat? We'll see a specific, could be either, but probably net, because as you'll see from the question, it'll be, I guess maybe it depends on the hook, if it's strong enough to pick up a human body or not. But basically, I mean net. Anything that could, as we'll see.
Same.
Yes. So, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever could, as we'll see in the following case, that let's say a person's fishing on Shabbos, and he's lucky enough to save a human life at the same time. Lo and behold, the baby just fell into the water, something went in, whatever, without getting into the issue of swimming on Shabbos, they were swimming in the lake, and even if they were, you have a mitzvah of hatzalas nefashas, and lo and behold, you, in addition to finding some fish, you actually find the human life, you save a baby, an adult, depending on how big the hook is or the net, whatever the mitzias is. So, what is the halakha naki? So that's actually a Gemara Menachas, Sandav Samech Dalid, and we discussed in different contexts before, but the Gemara gives us all the lumdis. The Gemara says, do we go basa maisa, or do we go basa makshava? Do we go by the act? The bottom line is, push comes to shove, he did, pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos, he did a tremendous mitzvah of hatzalas nefashos, or that if I say, no, I go basa makshava, so who cares what actually happened, and not that who cares, obviously the person you saved and the parents do care, but in terms of halach, in terms of the isser of chilul Shabbos, so if you go basa makshava, his intention was to violate the malach of Seda, and therefore the fact that coincidentally he happened to save life at the same time, maybe that's not relevant. So that's a discussion in the Gemara, basa maisa, whether the person would be chayav on Shabbos or not, or whether perhaps he did a great thing, even forget about that being chayev, he did one of the greatest mitzvahs. And that's what we went into in other times, the question...
Let me ask another question. What happens if you're fishing on Shabbos, you didn't catch anything?
Right, so that's...
Same kind of thing, right?
But here you actually caught fish. Here, no, it's like...
So you already catch.
No, then the makshava to do a malacha wouldn't be enough. Even if you didn't catch anything, you're okay. The question is, you actually caught the fish, but in addition to catching the fish, right, in general, that's God's good to us, and a makshava tova is also a separate shear, but a makshava tova is mitzaref l'maisa, good thought, he counts even if you didn't do it. It's a discussion in the Acharonim, the Meshech Chochma and others, whether you get complete credit, partial credit, but the makshava ra, you don't even know, we'll see, there are other Gemaras that seem to say that if you actually thought you were doing an Aveira, even though you, as let's say the case we have in Nazir, in Afkhav Gimel, where a woman took on, in last week's parasha, we know a woman could become a Nazir. In fact, there's a whole discussion, Rav Yosef Engel has a whole lengthy discussion on whether a woman could become a Nazir in Zira, and actually it's a Pasuk in the Chumash. But, so, the question was, she took on of not being Matame Lameis, not drinking wine, and then she went ahead and drank wine, she went to a cemetery, But to unknowingly, her husband was made for annulled the vow. So she didn't know. She thought she had a makshava of violating the Naziris. But Lamai said she's not. So that's actually a discussion in the Mishnah, whether she's us. And that the second opinion says, as a separate Lesha, maybe Pater, exactly how exempt is she, which is a discussion in the commentators as well. But that's along the same lines. The machshava was to violate Naziris. The bottom line is she didn't do anything. In fact, she didn't do any Averis. That's the famous Beis Halevi we've discussed about the question of Shomer. Should you call a Shomer Shabbos doctor or a non-Shomer Shabbos doctor in a Shabbos emergency? So the Beis Halevi's opinion is you call a Shomer Shabbos doctor. Why? Because he has a very strict definition of what an anus is. What's considered someone under duress. We know someone puts a gun to your head and you commit to do something, so that's not binding. You should don't give up your life, tell the person whatever they want and then leave, and it's not binding. So the Beis Halevi's definition of an onus is that the only reason I'm doing the Avera is because I'm forced into it. But if I would do the Avera anyway, even though in this particular case there might be a coincidental coercion, that doesn't qualify it. That's not labeled a complete onus. Again, it's not the same as someone, as we said, the case is a person who goes to McDonald's every day for his lunch special, and then one day he's walking there and some guy comes with a hood on his head and puts a gun to it and says, "I know you're Jewish. I learned about it. It's kosher. You know what? I can't stand Jews and I can't stand your religion. I'm going to make you eat treif." So he goes and he orders the regular and he eats his sandwich. So the question is he chayav or not? So Beis Halevi would say that's not, obviously it's not the same as the other case, not total ratzon, but he wouldn't label him a complete onus either. There is some culpability, as the Rav Elchanan writes as well, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, if you're ones and ratzon, bahadi hadadi, if you have both things working at the same time, you're not considered onus. And therefore he says you should call the Shomer Shabbos doctor, because the fact that he's coming for a Shabbos emergency, he'd be playing golf or going fishing anyway. He didn't hear the fishing shear. And therefore, it better to call the Shomer Shabbos doctor. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes the Beis Halevi in his tshuva and writes as a plea, whether disagreeing or disagreeing. But he agrees with the conclusion for a totally different reason. He says it's only because of the accessories. That it's true. Regarding the emergency, they're the same. But let's say it's only a virus. So writing out different things that don't, not an emergency. That's why he says the Shomer Shabbos doctor. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky felt, no, better to call the non-Shomer Shabbos doctor. He had the svara I was thinking of, that because you have 24, 25 hours in Shabbos, better for him at least to get a couple of hours of saving a life. Hatzelos Nefeshos, it's better to only mechal Shabbos for 20 hours than for 24 hours. And that seems to be is also connected to another famous contemporary issue today of the question of switching residencies, a Shomer Shabbos doctor switching with a non-Shomer Shabbos doctor. Rav Moshe is matir, says it's okay, maybe preferable, based on that same svara then as Rav Yaakov, that why he's being mechal Shabbos anyway, get him involved in mitzvot. Rav Shlomo Zalman isn't happy, he thinks it borders on lifnei iver. There's a whole discussion on that. So it's a machlokas Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman. And similarly would be an issue an Israeli soldier on the Temple Mount. So should you give it to a soldier who doesn't care, who would go on the Temple Mount anyway, would be dependent on this issue. But fishing is also on Shabbos. But if you're lucky enough to save a life, so that's a discussion, basa maisa or basa machshava. Then we discuss the issue, at what point do you violate also on Shabbos, or it's really a talacha for all week long in terms of Hilchas Tuma. The Mishnah in Uksin said, at what point, we know fish, live animals are not makabel Tuma, are not susceptible, but when they're dead, they're considered food, and they are. So at what point do they lose the status of fish and become food? At what point are they susceptible to Tuma, or Netilas Neshama, at what point are they considered dead? So that's a machlokes Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Shammai says the moment they're caught in the net, that apparently, you know, no chance of getting out. They're basically caught, and there's no, it's just a matter of time. They're being pulled out of the water now. And Beis Hillel says, I don't know, whenever that fish, When the clothes mind they're alive, they're alive. They're fish. Once they're dead, and that's a Rav Zevin in the Or Halacha goes through many different disputes between Beis Hillel and Ben Shammai, saying it's Lashitas. So Beis Shammai always looks at the potential, and Beis Hillel always looks at the reality. Like Abdullah, we make Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, because we see many different shades of light. But Beis Shammai says the bracha is on the Ma'or, is on the Yisod Ha'esh. It's true the many shades. If you get down to the root of it, it goes. So that's what in Bali Kabbalah they say we're going to follow. It doesn't say anywhere in Shas that, but Bali Kabbalah say when the time of Mashiach we're not ready. Beis Shammai is din, and we're going to accept Beis Shammai. Whether that's true or not, we'll find out. But that's what they say in the Sifrei Kabbalah anyway.
But very interesting idea. What you're saying in terms of seven compared to that Kabbalistic concept between din and rachman. Is din is usually much more than mitzvahs there is right now. A rachman is projected, a projection of what could be or whatever it is. It seems just the opposite.
Right, also correct. Like we assume, like in general, like the Rav points out another is the difference between Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaalpeh. Let's say Ayin Tachas Ayin, for instance, is the classic one. The Torah tells you the way you really deserve it. If you take out someone's eye, you deserve to lose your eye. But the Torah Shebaalpeh mitigates it, and it's in terms of mama. But right, in general, so they have that concept of din, you know, din and rachma. He ties it into he has a whole slew of 10-15 disputes with Shitasan. As I mentioned last time, he leaves the most famous one out, which you can tie into it anyway, the one on Hanukkah with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. But that's what I always point out. So if you're a thinking man, really Beis Shammai makes a lot of sense. He really gets down to the root and the lumnus. Or as I always tell my students, I ask them, when's the best day of your vacation? So I tell them it's the day before your vacation. Why? Because the day before we have our list, we have about 25 things we're going to do over vacation. It never works out. We come close to doing everything we want to do, but it's the anticipation, the fact that right now, the potential that you have, with Beis Shammai, with the 8 days and that, and also it's the it's not the Nakuda, it's the Yisoda, but jelly beans. I don't know, do we have any, but different shades of jelly beans. Some like the red, some like the yellow. Some hate the black, whatever. We each have our own favorites. So what do you eat? You eat your one you like the most, or you eat the one you dislike and you save the best for last. So many people save the best for last. So at first glance it seems very silly then, because some say then you're always eating the worst one. Because if you're saving the best for last, I'm eating the worst, the second, you're always eating the worst one. So it doesn't really make logic. So what's the pshat? The pshat is no, it's the end. Sometimes the anticipation is greater than the actual hana, especially with the jelly bean. But the anticipation is greater. That's the same, the same concept of. And in general, they talk in Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is the picture of the grumpy old man, and Beis Hillel is the grandpa giving you the cookies and the Danish. But really, it's the way two ways of looking at the Avodas Hashem. Obviously, they both, it was a the classic machlokas v'shein shemayim, how they saw it, or in terms of focusing on. Whether you get into Slobodka and Nevardik, how you focus, how do you get someone? Do you get someone coming down on them, how they become better, or do you go with positive reinforcement? Or it's baseball season, so we might as well throw in. So one of the pitchers, I think it was Jim Katz, I don't know if he's Hall of Famer or not, if he made it, but he was so, later on when he was, when he was an All-Star Hall of Famer, what was the secret? How did you become an all-star pitcher? He said, there was my pitching coach. I wasn't sure if it was Mel Stoudemire or not, but his pitching coach said, when I got to a rookie, I got to spring training. So he says, tell me, what's your best pitch? So this is, I'm not sure what it was, but let's call it a fastball. He says, okay, how's your curve? Okay, slider. So what are you going to be working on in spring training? Well, I guess I worked on my curve, my slider. He says, no, you got it all wrong. What's going to take you through the majors is your fastball. Of course, you have to. You can't do everything all at once. But Beis Shammai's din. You got to do everything. But in terms of you have to work on that. So we're still in the NBA playoffs. So let's say Dwight Howard or Shaquille O'Neal. They shouldn't spend all day working on that foul shot. They'll never be great foul shooters. But that's the other thing. It's what you focus on. But either way, that's how they. explained in Bakshava in terms of as well be still be shama. But in terms of our case, that's the issue of Netilash Neshama, or in terms of at what point do you become, or at least in terms of the Mishnah Uksin's talking about, at what time do you become, have the possibility to become Makabal Tumah, when do you lose the status of a fish and become Ochel? And then we discussed the question of fishing in the open seas, whether one could actually acquire fish in a Rishis Harab, in the ocean, in the lake, assuming it's not your own private lake. So they point out, there's a Rabbeinu Tam, Tosis and Kedushin, Daf Nun Tes. There's a Lacha, the Gemara in Bava Basra talks about staying away when you put down bait, so therefore the fish start coming. So I put my, I'm over here, my bait's here, so it's coming to this park right next to me, and he cuts off my fish. Is that a problem? So Rabbeinu Tam, again, it's a whole discussion, different Gemaras, but the conclusion Rabbeinu Tam writes is, if you're doing it for business, it's a whole separate issue, a parnasa, hasagas gvul. You can't cut into someone's parnasa. But assuming we're fishing for pleasure, so then he says it's no problem. You can't have ownership in the open seas. It's heter gomer. There's no problem whatsoever. I'm not saying he recommends doing it, but there's no legal problem. There's no problem of gezeila geneiv at all. However, he quotes his father, Rabbi Meir, who says, it's ki'ilu gozgo. Again, he can't say, you can't say you actually acquire it and it's actually stealing, but it's certainly improper, and it's ki'ilu, that's the lesson of Rabbi Meir, it's like you're stealing. And comes along to Ksos, Achosha, and he says it's gezo mamish. He says it's, you violated din the rice of gzela, tremendous chiddush, because, so he bases on two tremendous chidushim. We know there's a concept of meshicha, of pulling an animal, but you don't acquire it into it to go rishuso. You have to bring it into your yard or something that belongs to you. And as I pointed out, let's say there's also a concept of kinyan simta, rishuso, sidi, rishuso, rabim, let's say parking lots today. Could you, by standing in the parking lot, it's a discussion in the Rishon and Makor, where they're talking about parking lots, but the later posts come talking about the concept where the parking lot fits, something that's publicly owned, but the city gives you permission to use it. So it's a concept of a Kenyan Simta, Sidi Rishus Harabim. So the Ksos has a big Kiddush that not only is Meshicha, but there's a concept as well of Gram Meshicha. Well, that's, Gram Meshicha is not the Kiddush. The Gemara talks about if you call an animal and he comes to you, that also is considered Gram Meshicha. So perhaps he says when you put down the fish nets, the bait, and the fish start coming to you, so perhaps that's a Gram Meshicha. In addition, he says once you put the food, once you put the worms in, or we'll get to the food you put in, because the Gemara talks about Gram Hagba. Gram Hagba, again, Tosis and Kedushin, talks about how do you acquire an elephant, because you can't move him, so Machokas Rashi and Tosis, but Tosis says, you go up on a ramp, you put the food up, you get the elephant to lift his head up, and that's considered a Gram Hagba. So too over here, when you put the food in the ocean, the fish comes up. Again, two tremendous chidushim, which all the Achronim disagree with, but the Ksos wants to make up a case, wants to set up a case where he thinks you could be Kona, that Dalet Amos with the Gram Meshicha, Gram Hagba, and he considers a Gezel Mamish. Many disagree with the Yisod and the application. Yeah, Razi.
According to Ksos, are you stealing live fish or dead fish?
So
when you pull it out, you're killing it, right?
I mean, it depends, but why not Kamina?
Well, if you're stealing
the
fish that are in the sea, where you have to take table on the fish?
Are you saying from the guy who's... No, you're assuming like the gazelle that it's stolen, you mean? Are you saying, acquiring that it is gazelle, so at what point is it gazelle in terms of cave? Yeah. I don't have to look up the gazelle if he goes into... those details on that. I don't know how far he's going to take. Right, you want to say, well, based on the logical, then depending on getting into the real... Right, assuming the Ksos is saying it's serious enough, then whatever the normal halachas of Hilchas Geneva, because they will have to look up and see at what point, what point it was.
If I understood right, he was saying Mashiach should bring him into his Rishus, but if he brings him into his Rishus, he's kind of...
No, right, depends. No, but she knows. Metaltolin is, you can't call it a metaltolin with, let's say, with kesef. So let's say you buy something, let's say you buy a car.
Oh.
Yes, you bring it into your parking lot, or you have to, to make the complete kinyan. So what are you asking?
Does the Hagbon require Chotzer also? Isn't Chotzer a Kinyan of its own?
No, he's putting him out. Since he knows it's a Chiddush, what he's saying, he's just putting them both together to try to strengthen it. Right, but in theory, in terms of moving, because it all depends on what the setup is. I think the Ksos might even talk about you just leaving, like fishermen apparently just leave the nets there and they could go away and come back. That's what the other Achorim say. It's one thing if you're actually holding on to the nets and that, we could discuss it. But the Ksos seems to be saying even if like you leave the nets in the middle, you take off for an hour and come back, even then, that's a bigger point of contention. Either one would be enough. He's just trying to buffer his case in terms of how much you have to do to make it stronger. And again,
to make a kingdom.
Yeah, in terms of, but either one, right? Because maybe he's saying a chiddush, so he wants to say, well, it could work, in different ways, and we have both working. But he's
trying to make it parallel to the animal, because when the animal, you have to.
Yeah, so he wants to say, because you can't move an animal, so therefore the elephant you can't move, so therefore he's coming on to grab Agba. So therefore, either way, maybe the fish.
No, but when we call the animal, he comes in. Yeah. Isn't it tucked there?
Right, they're both right. Exactly, that's the grab Mashiach. So calling the animal by the bait, having the grab Mashiach, maybe that's like calling the animal. That's the point of contention. It's tremendous chiddush halacha. It's true, but that's what he says. And then, right, independently, you could have a gram hagba. He's trying to, he's getting into Hilchos Kinyan, finding any, like we do, Mechiras Chamei, so we do the latter Kinyanim, in terms of, because the different questions on what Kinyan works for a guy, not a guy. So he's just trying to make his case in terms of, he quotes both of those, right, either way, independent, maybe one works without the other.
Yeah.
I guess he's not saying a bit Torah. He knows it's a chiddush, so he wants to, buffer his case more. The Lamaisa, the Ksos, again, so it depends on, again, we have to go into exact details, how far is considered, what is considered a normal amount, and then, Lamaisa, we'd have to know more details in terms of the fishermen. In terms of the general rule, Ksos seems we're talking about a real question of, and the Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Meir aren't too concerned, and Lamaisa, most postim see him, the Ksos is a tremendous chiddush in Yisod and in Halacha. Pashas, we don't accept the Ksos, the Halacha, and we go with Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu that really, you have to prove your case in order to say that you can acquire it. But some Rishonim say the open seas have a status, you're making different assumptions, have a status of a Kinyan Simta, and Ksidi Rishis Harabim. So he's building it based on different assumptions. But that was one of the discussions we had. As well, we discussed the issue of the worms. That last I checked, they go fishing. They put the worms in the mouth. The worms get embedded in the mouth of the fish. And let's say you couldn't get the worm out. You cooked it. You didn't realize it afterwards. So worms are not kosher. Last I checked. And therefore the question is, could you eat the fish if you cooked the fish together with the worm? So there's a famous machlokas in Yoridea between the Shach and Taz on what are the status of worms. Maybe they're different worms at different times, I don't know. Maybe some taste good, some don't. But the Taz is very strong language against worms. Dvar hamu'usim, disgusting, everyone can't stand them. So therefore, based on the Taz, it's clearly nosing tam lefgam. It's definitely like putting in detergent or something to make the taste bad, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem in terms of eating the fish. And the Shach claims the Ramah Paskin's worms are nosing tam lishvach. Why? Because the Ramah writes, if you find worms in your vegetable, as long as the vegetable is 60 times the amount of the worm, you don't have to worry. If it's nosing tam lefgam, what are you worried about? Over then, he must hold that that it's nosing tam lishvach. That's a machlokas Shach and the Taz.
But that's mamashis.
No, so in terms of...
That's the argument of the vegetables, the verbs, it's not tam, it's mamashis.
Yes, so there's a question, so what's the mitzvah by fishing?
No, the point is, is your question, so I was wondering, was the question is tam or the actual worm? Eating the worm is a problem, it's less than tam lishvach.
No, right, no, so that's right, so the worm is, you got out everything you could, meaning so, you don't know if there's, let's say you got half the worm, maybe the other half's in the water. In other words, Actually, you're right. You can't eat the actual mamashes, but you got everything. You don't know if it's in there in terms of what you.
Okay, that's a different question.
Yeah, so I'm saying, right, that's right. If you see, everyone agrees you can't eat the worm. I mean, if you could take the, you never got to eat, you know.
I just don't understand the shop's argument from the Ramah. Ramah is talking about mamashos. If there's a bug in the 60 times more vegetables, then the mamashos.
No, so maybe he's assuming the Ramah also in terms of tam. In terms of, let's say, you're right, no, in terms
that
of.
That would seem to be, I mean.
Maybe, you know, after, in terms of, you know, cooking and in terms of how that worked, yeah, but. Either way,
I see the Talmud, that's more proof.
And the other way, you could take some, right, so maybe if you want to say, you know, you can make peace between the Shach and the Taz, and maybe, you know, maybe the, depending how you learn the, you know, the way the Shach seem to extend it even to Tam, or the way some bring down the Shach, but that's, you know, that's, I agree. So therefore, so I said, before you go on your fishing trip, you have to decide if you're passing like the Shach or the Taz. Work it out with the chavrusa first, and then the issue, as we said, the hook. The hook. What's the problem with the hook? Because we know you're not so lucky unless maybe they should have special kosher fishing. Where you only have kosher fish in there, you don't have to worry. But I'm not aware of a place like that yet. Not that I've checked into it either. But let's say you're doing fishing with the hook, and the hook goes into the non-kosher fish. Okay, you don't want to take it off and you give it to your friend. You throw it out. So does the hook become treif? Why? The fish is cold. It's not like in the heat, hot waters of Tiberias. So there's a concept in halacha of dukta de sakina. There's a concept in halacha, like they use it with a knife, but not limited to a knife, where by the sharp, by hitting a very sharp way, hard way, some, you know, it could spread the taste as well. So the question is, we're talking about when the fish is alive. When the fish is alive and the hook goes directly right into the fish, do we say the live fish is spread on and trafed up the hook or not? So that's what we discussed. The question is, what would I say? Let's say you're cutting, it probably happened to all of us to some extent, we cut ourselves, I guess, how much we're in the kitchen, or maybe it's not even the kitchen, maybe doing a handiwork, but we have a knife or a knife we use for eating and we cut our finger. So the human flesh isn't kosher, the dam's a discussion, but it's just, does the knife become treif? I haven't seen anyone say the knife becomes treif. So that's the whole famous Chasam Sofer I mentioned last week as well. He quotes from his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, the famous case where a bird flew into a vat of butter, a hot vat of butter, and he never made it out. So they asked Reb Nosson Adler, obviously they couldn't eat it, but he said, could you eat it? He said, no, it's basar b'chalav. He said, could we give it, could we give it to Goyim? So he said, no, you can't give it to Goyim because basar b'chalav is asar b'hana. But then when he asked him, I'm not, what are you talking about? But it's oaf. It only a derais is asar b'hana. But basar oaf is only asar b'drabanan. So he said, you're right, I made a mistake, but I'm right anyway. Because there's another reason it's asar, because of bliyas aver menachai. In other words, even if the bird came out the other end, which it didn't, but the moment the bird initially went into the fire, so the bliya from the bird went into the butter, and therefore he said, and the guy is usher in Aver Menachai as well, and therefore that's why I was right when I told you to throw it into the ocean. So the tremendous chiddush, the Chasam Sofer writes, that he says that a live animal could give out, a live thing could give out taste. In fact, that's what I'm... So that's what the Achronim asked in the Chasam Sofer. What are you talking about? If I put my finger in the soup or in the cholent, does that treif up the chicken soup or the cholent? Where do we see it? Or the Maharam Shik says, you have those fishing ponds where you have in Metro, Barn, all these places, and you have kosher fish and non-kosher fish, assuming they're around 24 hours, sitting kovish kumavushel. So you're telling me that the fish treif up each other? So the bottom line is everyone agrees that the only issue is whether a live animal can give out, a live species can give out. The Chasam Sofer has a tremendous chiddush from Reb Nosson Adler that is bliyas aver menachai, but that's not the accepted view. Most of the Maharam Shik is Talmud, and most of the Achronim disagree. They say it's ridiculous. A live thing does not give out tam, and therefore, again, you have to decide who you're pasketing like with that hook. Are you going to go with the Chasam Sofer, Reb Nosson Adler, or the other Achronim? Another thing to work out. And then we discussed the issue of, we started discussing the issue of an aquarium. Let's say, forget about fishing. You bring the fish to you. So many people have an aquarium. I know many people, or fish bowls, goldfish. They have different issues. So what issues in terms of having fish in your house? So number one is a general halacha, not so well known, but it's an explicit Gemara about the halacha of feeding your animals based on a pasuk in Shema. That in terms of feeding your animals before you feed any humans. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Mem and Gittin on Daf. Right, that's the pasuk they quote, that first you have to provide for your animals. And then, so therefore, the question is this a real halacha? It's an explicit Gemara, no one's chowek on it. But is that a real halacha? Whatever real halacha means, but is it one? So that's a discussion in the Achronim, and even discussion perhaps in the Rambam. From the Rambam, it seems the question is it a real halacha, meaning it's a real din, deraisa, derabanan, or it's just more a nice mini chasidus? It's not a real halacha, it's a halacha per se, but it's just a nice way of practice. Like the Rambam in Hilchos Avadim, he lumps these two halachas together. The halacha that if you have a slave in your house, if you're eating chicken, you can feed him chicken. But if you're eating steak, you got to give him steak as well. He brings down that halacha, and also this halacha about feeding your animals first. He seems to learn as a midas chasid, not a real pure halacha, but petoris min chasidus. And other Achronim quote that no, they hold it to real. In fact, the Magen Avraham seems to say maybe it's even a din d'oraisa. About he's very serious. He takes this din. Many of the Achronim also take the Arach. Well, we'll see by fish it applies to fish or not in a second. But in terms of feeding animals and the Magen, the Mishnah Berura, Arach, they seem to say it's only a din d'rabbanan. It's difficult to say. So you have the whole gamut on whether from. So some Achronim say it only applies to eating, not drinking. As we said, I don't think fish will be a problem for drinking anyway. But sometimes you're allowed to drink before your animal. What about eating? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a discussion of what are the parameters of this halacha. Who does it apply to? So they discuss the issue of Rabbi Yaakov Emden discusses the issue of any animal that can't take, let's say today, cats or dogs. So in terms of, they can take care of themselves. In fact, some of the cats and dogs eat better than many poor people in Toronto or in other places. And when you hear them crying, the cats, it's because they're getting sick from the choin or they ate too much, not because they didn't eat, not because they don't have any food. So he says, there's only animals that you need to, that are dependent on you. That if they need you, obviously if they feed themselves, it's not an issue. And actually, I was mixing up the Magen Avraham with the Magen Avraham does say it, but the Magen Avraham I was talking about, what the Raisa we'll get to, is about another halacha, about feeding. There's another halacha, not also not well known, feeding machal adam, feeding human food to animals. That's what the Magen Avraham is very strong about a din d'oraisa, about and the other Achronim say, find heterim with it, that maybe it only applies to those, again, to those animals that can, you know, if they could find their own food, but if someone needs the food, as we'll get to Sar Bar Chaim, it might tie into that machlokas about
the fellow who always gasses up his car before he eats lunch. Mm-hmm. On the ground that this is my horse.
Right, so that would be right. So an interesting application, right? So that gets into that halacha, but that's what he's talking about. So we'll come back to that. But that will interesting. Magen Avraham feels very strongly about that halacha about machal adam, not giving, and that's why he has small room for heterim. Other Achronim will say limit the application of that. But getting back, so if you're in a, so what in the mitzvahs d'oraisa one can perform by having an aquarium, or it doesn't have to be an aquarium, or having animals, is assuming it's the animals that apply to, would be fulfilled, assuming you hold it a mitzvah, from a midas chasidus or a mitzvah d'oraisa, in terms of feeding your animals first, and it'll be a nafka mina, assuming we take it as a serious halacha, at what expense do you have to do it for? Let's say you're out you're not home, what's the gedara they don't go into? How much of it? It's one thing if I'm home, I'm eating out in a restaurant. Oh yeah, I forgot to feed the fish, or I have to now go back. You're out in a business meeting. How far do you have to tell your boss what you're doing? Again, that goes into a discussion last week about, you know, one of the most important questions: can you, if you have struck out fishing and you're embarrassed, you want to look like a fool to your wife, could you stop off in the kosher fish store and tell her that you found the fish? So that we discussed, that was the custom. So for the Machlokes Rashi and Ramban on how you learn the pshat in the story with the Eliezer, what did he actually say in terms of when did he give her the jewelry first, or did he say bas miyad afterwards? So Rashi learns he actually gave the jewelry first because he had amuna, but when he came to Lavan and those ilk, he wasn't going to make a fool out of himself. Yeah, amuna, this and that, so he changed the order. And from there, the Chasam Sofer says, we see from this Rashi Halacha, to avoid looking like a fool, you're allowed to lie. The Ramban says, he didn't switch the order, he actually did it, he was just preparing it before. So, again, you'll have to discuss that. I guess you can work out with yourself, since it's only your wife, whether you're going to go with the Rashi or the Ramban in terms of making up finding the fish or not. But that was the issue over there, so it's also the same thing, how far do you have to go with this issue of feeding your animals first? That's not so clear what the exact gedarim are. So, and as well as one of the famous questions, which we'll see if it applies to fish as well, but the question of sar bali chayim. We know it's a Gemara ba Metzia, Machlokes in the Gemara, whether sar bali chayim is a issa daraisa, a biblical prohibition, rabbinical. Most poskim assume it's a din daraisa. Interesting enough, even though most poskim assume it's a din daraisa, there are many different sources. It's not a clear cut. The Gemara doesn't give you the source. Many different rishonim achronim come up, not to muzzle your animals when they're working. Rambam Amor Nevuchim brings down the incident with Bilam. Yeah, I mean, a katzel, a katzel, exactly what is the source?
Ozov
Tazavima. Right, they have a whole list of sources they go through. The bottom line is we assume that Sar Bar Chaim is an Issa Daraisa, it's a Machlokes in the Gemara, but that's the accepted Psak. So the question is, let's say killing fish, or for that matter, killing any animals, is that a violation of Sar Bar Chaim? In other words, does Sar Bar Chaim include Misa? Is it clearly torturing an animal? Is Sar Bar Chaim? What about actually killing? As we'll see, of course, it depends how you kill, could be how the steps before you kill them, we'll get into exactly, but is there, in the case of Misa, when you're actually killing the animal, is there a problem of Sar Bali Chayim? So that's a famous Noda Behuda, which is based on a famous Gemara in Chulin. And Dav Zayin, another Misa with Rebbe and Pinchas Ben Yair, two great rabbis. So Rebbe wanted Pinchas Ben Yair to eat at his house, a big skos. So Pinchas Ben Yair comes, and he sees these praetors levanas, these white mules. And the Gemara Rashi talks about that they're ksas sakanas, we'll see, because if they kick, they say there's no refuah. So he had these white mules in his house or by outside his house. So Rabbi Pinchas Ben Elza said, what? Malach HaMavis Bevesazeh? I mean, imagine one Rebbe talking to another Rebbe today like that. But Malach HaMavis, what is this? The angel of death? What, are you kidding me? I'm out of here. I'm not walking into this house. He said, okay, don't worry, what do you want? You know, I'll get rid of them, I'll sell them. No, with Naivir. Okay, how about if I make them ineffective, I'll cut off the part where they can kick. No, Sar Bali Chayim, how could you do that? He says, okay, I'll kill them. No, you can't kill them, Bal Tashkets, there's no purpose to them. And Pinchas Ben Yair just stormed out, and he didn't come back for dinner. So the question is, but that's not our issue here, what the issue between the two of them. Our issue is, this Noda Behuda points out, so what do we see from this Gemara? We see from this Gemara that there's no Sar Bali Chaim by Misa. What do we see from this Gemara? So that's the simple way, we'll see, there'll be another Pshat in the Gemara, but the way the Noda Behuda learns in other Achronim is, when it came to torturing the animal, cutting off with something going to be painful, then he said Sar Bali Chaim. But when he said kill the animal, he just said Bal Tashkes. Unless you want to say, in addition to Sar Bali Chaim, but the Gemara literally says this about Tashkes. The Noda Behuda learns that here we see when it comes to Misa, there is no Sar Bali Chaim. In fact, Rosh Pesach Frank also learns like this Noda Behuda. He has, speaking of fish in a fishbowl or aquarium, whatever the case might have been, whatever the case was, I think there's some fish that when they have babies, but there are other fish that eat the babies. So I guess, you know, what you do is you take the babies out, put them in another fishbowl, I don't know, however it works exactly. But his question was like this. He wants to know if it's on Shabbos or something, or Yontif, and can I take out the fish, you know, let's say fish on muksa, let's say, which is, you know, our pet's muksa, which is a discussion we want to get to, whether we'll get to this right now, time will bear ourselves out. But let's assume pets are muksa for the time being. So he wanted to know, could you violate tiltu muksa to save the fish? Because else they're going to be killed. So what's the pshat? Because Rav Sifa Safraik has another tshuva where he writes that in a case, it was a case of whatever the animal was, I don't remember the exact teeth, it was a pregnancy, it might have been like the fetus was inside it. The question was, it was a question on Yantuv, could you be matir tiltu muksa for Sar Bali Chayim? Could you get out by doing something, maybe get a guided, whatever? But the case was that the bottom line is the Yisrael of Rav Sifa was he was matir tiltu muksa to avoid Sar Bali Chayim by an animal. So the show asks, so what about by here? So he says, no. Sar Bali Chayim is by misa, there is, you know, whether you have to come up with some other reason. That's a separate shear. But the point of the Yisrael was, there's no Sar Bali Chayim by Misa, I can't use that heter, I can't be matir tiltu muksa by Misa, maybe you have to come up with another reason if there is. But again, so we see like he learned back to know to be Huda, presumably the same Gemara, that there is no Sar Bali Chayim by Misa. However, others, Achronim, say that no, that's not the Pshat in the Gemara. I mean, well, they say no, there is Sar Bali Chayim by Misa. You could just say simple Pshat is, the Gemara is not excluding Sar Bali Chayim, it's Sar Bali Chayim and Bal Tashkes, but let's assume not that way. How do you learn the Gemara? So they have a nice alumnus. And it's a general Yisrael how to look at, and it helps us with the general Yisrael how to look at Sar Bali Chayim in general, because in general there's an Issa Daraisa of Sar Bali Chayim. On the other hand, and we know, we're at the forefront of animal rights, but not the understanding that Pita has of animal rights. In terms of, we live in a, see, you always have a pendulum going back. Different societies treated animals terribly, tortured them, had treated them like a table, an inanimate object. And then you have other societies that treat them at least probably better than humans. I mean, we don't have to look too far. Just, I know it's not football season yet, but we talk about baseball and basketball. So NFL, where we had a certain individual who got convicted for, Michael Vick for dogs, you know, training dogs, pit bulls. Again, it was a heinous act, but they went crazy on him, and that's why people are afraid to take him back now. He just got out of jail, is because they don't want pizza rioting at the stadium not to come in. But yet, there were certain NFL players who were close to convicted for murder, but it didn't seem to get them back into the NFL. So we've reached we're full circle. In fact, ironically, the Nazis, of all people, one of the first people, you know, in terms of animal rights, that, in fact, they attacked Shechita. That was one of the things about the Jews and everything. They don't care about animals. And interesting enough is they passed the laws. One of the first laws the Nazis passed was when the cattle travel in the train, you have to make sure there's enough room. They had a whole set of rules how to treat animals properly, and we know what happened, how they treated humans. And in fact, documented cases where when they were taking the Jews out to the gas chambers, the neighbors come in and say, oh, they have a cat. I can't leave a cat alone in the house. So that's where Rav Kook points out, and you know, one of a polemic reason, Rav Black quotes him in his article on vegetarianism, one of those about one of the reasons he was against, well, that gets in the whole discussion whether he was a vegetarian or not, that we'll save that discussion. But Rav Black quotes Rav Kook as saying, well, he was against vegetarianism, forget about all the other reasons, this polemics he was saying is that there's a certain type of rachmanis a certain individuals get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know, there's a limit, so if you're going to use it up on animals or other things, you're not going to have it on, you know, on humans. But that type of idea, unfortunately, we see around today where it's totally, we believe, you know, God, you know, is Rachamal al Kol Masav, but it's where you put the Dagesh on. So obviously, Judaism is always in the middle road, is we're always in the middle in terms of we're on the forefront of animal rights, but not animal rights per se. As one person said, what do you mean animal rights? Is that before you put them on the barbecue or after? You know, animals don't have rights, not people, but in terms of obviously treating them, Halacha has many different laws regarding them. So and that's why the Shulchan Aruch brings down, we know, for human needs, medicinal reasons, you all could have, we take, it's not an issue of Sar Bar Chaya, maybe even plucking the feathers, even though Rama says you shouldn't do cruel things. And then you get into the whole question of Vio or Moshe. It's always weighing the risk-reward. How much Sar versus how much gain? That's what the Achronim write in this Gemara. This is the Pshat. It's not saying there's no Sar Bar. So what they say like this, the Yisod is, Sar Bar Chayim, in order to matter Sar Bar Chayim, you need a Tzorach Gadol. For a Tzorach Katan, we're not going to, Mises is better. In other words, like this, they learned the Gemara. What were they doing? But he says, Sar Bar Chayim, what was going to happen to this animal? This animal was going to suffer for the rest of the animal's life, and they're going to be in pain. That's a Tzar Gadol. So therefore, on a Tzar Gadol, we're not going to permit you to do it. But Misa, once it's over, so for it's only a Tzar Katan, so to speak, then we permit it. In other words, they learn it's the whole risk reward ratio. That's how they learn that Gemara. So that Gemara says Baal Tashkis. So Baal Tashkis wasn't there wasn't any need. We're allowed to kill animals because there's needs for them, either eating or there's uses for them. But that's how, so they learn, no, there is Sar Bar Chayim by Misa. That's a major machlokas achronim, which is very lemais in terms of hunting or fishing or other things, whether you have to deal with the issue of Sar Bar Chayim. And as well, that's the famous tshuva of the No Debi Yehuda. Someone was asked regarding hunting, whether, and he says that he's interesting, the Shaul says, and don't give me any mussar, I just want the halacha. Tell me halacha l'maisa, can I do it or not? Save the mussar shmuz for someone else. So he says like this, so the No Debi Yehuda was about halacha anyway, so he points out and says, well, number one is, he says, well, if we're talking about for Parnassa, that's one thing. So then Parnassa, of course, I can't, Parnassa, it's mutter to do it for Parnassa. We'll get back to another Yisod he has in Parnassa in a minute. He says, however, just doing it for pleasure, he says, well, any sport, we don't really find fishing at all in Tanakh, unless someone can find it, I haven't found it, fishing in Tanakh per se, but by hunting, any sport that's only associated with Nimrod and Esav, Ayla Russia, Ayla Shchino, is that a nice sport for a nice Jewish boy to be involved in? And he points out, number one, but secondly he says, but what did the best hunter say, Esav? Hinei anahanochi holech lamos. He's like, of course I'm going to be killed because hunting's such a dangerous sport. To the note of your rights, number one, you can't do hunting. Again, for Parnassa, as we'll see, you could take on a higher level of risk. In terms, you can't do something dangerous, but you have to take on a higher level of there's a higher element risk for a parnasa you're allowed to take than for a regular case. But he says that I don't recommend, and also it's a danger, sakana. A lot of people hunting accidents, they think it's a deer, it's you, and many people, I don't know many, I'm not sure what the percentages are, but Dick Cheney says it's a sakana. And therefore, it depends who you go hunting with, I guess. And secondly, it says as well, so maybe that one doesn't apply to fishing that much. I mean, unless you're standing on the edge of going a big cliff. It's not really, you don't have to be worried about usually getting caught on with the hooks and that. However, the other reason, he says, Maisa Akzari, he says, it's not something that a Jewish person should be doing for sport, going around, killing fish or even maybe worse, catching them and letting them go, that people do. It's not something, so else Parnassa, I can't say it's us or it's mutter. Parnassa, you let it take on a higher element of not suicidal danger, but a higher level of risk, which is a topic for another shiur, Dashu Bei Rabim. However, for pleasure purposes, I can't recommend it. It's something Esav and Nimrod did, not the best characters in Tanakh. and it's a sakana for many types of hunting, but at least for fishing, it's definitely something else, the ma'isav zori, the impact it has on you. And you know, with regards to the issue of sar balechayim, that's a discussion that we showed him, why is it aser? Many we showed him say it's because it's the impact it has on you, not so much the concern for the animal, but if you're going to actually, if you're mistreating animals, you're going to end up mistreating humans as well. In fact, there's a famous ma'isav, I think it was Rebbe HaKadosh, which I think it was a case with Medrash maybe where that one of the animals they were taking to be slaughtered and he tried to hide under Rabbi Rebbe and Rebbe shoot, he says, what are you doing? There's your purpose in life. Go happy to the slaughter. And Rebbe was punished with a terrible disease until later on he did a maisa that he did a nice maisa with an animal and then he was cured from it. So again, so we see we know Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says he was picked as a Roah Neman because he carried the sheep. So again, so we find in Chazal, it's not, of course, it's the treatment of animals is a positive thing, but it's where the emphasis on Racham Makol Masav, like any good Midah, it has to be used in the right measurement. There's one more thing just to conclude, is the issue of, again, I'm not working for PETA or any of those groups, but in terms, again, I'm not interested so much in the flies, but I'm interested in this in the Yisola Halacha. What would be the preferable way of killing, let's say, killing flies? Well, what are the possible ways? Well, you know, if you have an 8-year-old boy in your house, you know what the way, you know, they'll be swinging the swatter, but either there's a fly swatter method, fly paper method, or now the more modern, the zapping one that's very popular in the camps, throwing the flies in, or peeling off the flies when I was in camp, not that I was into that, but other people like peeling off the wings off the flies. But what is the preferable way of killing flies? So again, so I'm not just so much interested in the flies. Again, if you have a real issue with cockroaches, mice, then obviously nothing to talk about. Don't worry about it, just get rid of them. But I'm talking about a case where it's not a tremendous sargadol, and you know, it's an issue, it's more the Yisodin Halach I care about, is... So we said, no Levi Yehuda says there is no Sar Bali Chayim by Misa. So clearly, the zapper works well. They die right away. I assume the fly swatter doesn't see it coming. The fly paper, I would assume, would be a very torturous way of going. So we could give the no Levi Yehuda would go for the fly swatter and the zapper. What about, there's a famous sheet of Rav Yaakov Emdin, which is popularly misquoted as well, as saying that there is no Sar Bali Chayim on lower level animals, because they don't have the same... It's not what he says. But he says there's no Sar Bali Chayim on any animals that, you know, unless there's direct benefit to humans, if there's no, then there's no Sar Bali Chayim. So flies don't have any direct benefit, so therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, then you could, there's no Sar Bali Chayim, so therefore both the fly swatter... So we have Rav Yaakov Emdin and the Noda Yehuda, and the fly paper we have Rav Yaakov Emdin as well, and everyone goes with the zapper method. And then there's one other shita, the Chasam Sofer shita, with the Yisod is, do we say, is Sar Bali Chayim only, is it B'shei V'Altase? Or is it also V'kum V'Asi? Do I have to actively go out? And do if I see an animal suffering, do I have to actively go out and stop the suffering? Or no, if I have the load on the donkey, I don't have to do a b'shei v'altase. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. The Chasam Sofer Shita is it's only b'shei v'altase. That's why he has the whole discussion about if you have a bechor, how to make it a mum because the kohen so someone can eat it and actually use it. You can lock them up in a barn and come back a week later and you're doing a b'shei v'altase, so therefore you're not responsible. That's the Chasam Sofer Shita, there's no Sar Bali Chayim b'shei v'altase. So again, so the fly swatter would be a big problem according to the Chasam Sofer, but either the zapper if they go in by themselves or the fly paper, so that would be, you know, that would be b'shei v'altase. But that's what, so that's why, you know, so those are the different yisodos in Halacha by Sar Bali Chayim. Is this Sar Bali Chayim by Misa? So then we have the No Levi Yehuda and the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, no. Then we have other Achronim that say there is Sar Bali Chayim by Misa. And then you have Rav Yaakov Emden, no sar bar chayim by any animals, don't have direct benefit. And then you have the Chasim Sofer that says only b'shei ve'altasa. There is no problem b'shei. That's what some want to tie in. Maybe that machlokis, the Magad Avram and others regarding the din of being machol adam with behema, that's a machlokis, because the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch holds there's an isser of sar bar chayim even b'shei ve'altasa, I believe. So therefore, get, not like the Chasim Sofer. So some want to say maybe that's totally in this machlokis. The Magad Avram who feels very strongly about not giving machol adam. So even if the animal's in sar, there is no, like the Chasim Sofer, shevi altasa. But the other achronim, the others who permit giving food to animals when they're hungry, so maybe they hold the isser of sar bar chayim is even b'shevi altasa, is, you know, even applied b'shevi altasa, and you have to go ahead, the yichayim even b'kumasa, you have to go ahead and feed the animals. So just to summarize, so we discussed the issue of fishing on Shabbos, Yantav, the issue of saving someone, the issue of Seda, of whether at what point the Machokis Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, in terms of at what point is the animal considered an Ochel, what is he considered dead, the whole Machokis Beis Hillel Beis Shammai in Machshava as well. And then we discussed the issue of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Meir, and the Ksos regarding fish in the open seas, the issue of Geneva Gezela. Then we had the issue of worms, whether Nosin Tam of Kama or not, the issue of the hook, the Chasim Sofer versus the Rebbe Maram Shik. Then we discussed the aquarium issue in terms of feeding your animals before you, the issue of Sar Bar Chaim in terms of whether it's whether Sar Bar Chaim applies to Misa or not, the whole how you learn the Gemara in Chulin, whether I'd like to know the Behuda and the Tzvi Pesach Frank or the others, that it's risk versus reward, and the whole issue of no de Behuda about Nimran and Esav, no hunting for pleasure, only hunting for Parnassa because of the danger or because of the Maisa of cruelty, and then the three sheetahs by Sar Bar Chaim, by the no de Behuda, no Sar Bar Chaim by Misa, and you have the Rav Yaakov Emden, only direct benefit to humans, and you have the Chasim Sofer, whether it only applies B'kum V'aseh, but not B'shei V'yaltasa. So those are some of the issues regarding fishing and hunting. I guess we'll stop.
Can you add something concerning the widespread minhag of eating fish?